In just a handful of days, it will be 29 years ago that I was born again in Jesus Christ. And even though it took about another year for that reality to really settle into my heart and for me to really begin to be open to the grace of God that was trying to work in my life, once I did, so many things began to change for me. And as I was a follower of Jesus in those early days and months, my character, my interaction with adults and other young people, all of these things began to grow in some amazing ways. But even as deeply as I had Jesus in my heart and in my walk in those early days, I sensed that there was something very important missing in my life as a Christian. I lacked a close Christian friend who was with me walking through the same sort of things that I was walking through during that time in my faith. And in my heart, I ached for what was missing. I spent months praying for at least one person that I would be able to connect with in this way. I prayed hard for a Christian friend, another male that would be about my age. Now, sure, I had other friends. I even had other Christian friends, but the makeup of our youth group, which in some ways maybe wasn't that bad, it was a lot of young ladies. There were younger male members, there were older male members, but I was kind of there stuck in the middle. And I longed for that fellowship, somebody who knew the type of things that I was wrestling with, that I would be able to trust and have pray for me and pray for them. And so I asked God again and again for this. And so during those months, my Christian relationships continued to grow. I learned that there were people not just at my church, but people in my school who were Christians, and we began to bond around those sort of things, but I still missed that significant relationship with another guy. And the Spirit led me to this idea after months of wrestling and asking. I began to recognize that if I was going to end up with a brother in Christ to share the journey with in the way that I knew I needed, it was going to take some work. I had been praying that God would just connect me with someone that we could walk together in that kind of way, but I began to recognize that I would need to invest some time and energy into finding and building that kind of relationship with somebody else. We're in this series called Vision Bound, and it's about us looking deeper at this vision statement God has given us as a church. And particularly through this season and through this series, I hope that we are each looking for the way as individuals God is calling us to find something unique and special in each of these points that we would grow in and then contribute to the greater community that is Bergen United Methodist. And at this point of where we're at, in your vision statement is always on the back of your bulletin. We've already walked through and are at this point right now. United in Christ, we are led by the Spirit and called to worship, build relationships, and dig deep into the Scriptures. We believe that at the core of the work in the identity that God is calling us to be, that we need to accomplish some things as we gather together here in this community. As those who are following Jesus together, there are three specific areas that we believe God is calling us to do some investment and some work on. And so last week we talked about worship. That's one of those areas. This week we talk about building relationships. And next week we'll look at what it might mean to dig deep into the Scriptures. These are areas that we are called to work at. Not just have them be true about us, but have them be true about us because we are investing in making sure that these are present within our community. Look specifically at the way that we are talking about Christian relationship here at Bergen United Methodist. We are called, as it relates to relationships, to what? To build relationships, even in the way that we list it there. It requires something of us. Building does not happen on its own, but it takes intention. I often hear the testimony about this church and in other churches as well, but about when someone first comes, how they feel a connection, a warmth, a comfortableness with the experience of worship, but also with the people that they encounter. And that certainly is so important, that when we would find ourselves in a new place of Christian community, that we would have that sense of warmth and feel a welcome in a connection. But as important as it is to have that sort of a sense when we first walk in the door, I think we all understand that we need to grow in our relationships within a Christian community. That if our connection and our welcome with others always stayed at the same place, at some point we'd begin to ask ourselves, do I really know these people? Do they really know me? How much do we really care for each other if all they know is my first name and they don't know anything else? And so we know that in order to have strong relationships, that indeed we do need to work at building them and helping to make sure that they would grow. Deep Christian community, the kind that I believe Jesus desires for all growing Christians, will take work and effort from all of us. And so as we look to Paul's letter here, Paul writes this to the Philippians. We find that this work of being in meaningful relationships with Christian community is something that starts not with the other people who are around us, but it starts with what God is doing deep within you as an individual. And so in verse 1, we see this series of ifs. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. What Paul is calling to the surface here is this question: does having Jesus in your life make a difference? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but consider that. Does having Jesus in your life make any difference at all? We don't see a complete list of the way that knowing Jesus and walking with Him impacts our lives and our hearts, but He gives us some examples. So, for instance, does the fact that you have Christ in your life ever bring you any encouragement? Do you ever find comfort in God's love in those times when you're wrestling with things? Do you experience God's tenderness or compassion within your heart? Again, this isn't a complete list, but Paul's point here is that if God is doing anything in your heart and in your life at all, that's inviting a response from you to live in this world differently. And so, verse 2, he begins then to show us what that differently might look like for those of us who understand that Jesus in our lives makes a difference. Verse 2 says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of in one mind." So in other words, if Jesus is doing anything in your heart, if Jesus is doing anything in my heart, then I need to respond to that. But what is Paul really asking here? It talks a lot of having one mind. Does this tell me that if Jesus is working in my heart, I somehow have to turn my brain off and agree with every other Christian and not think for myself? No, I don't think that's what is being said here. And this is one of those places in Scripture where we have some limitation in translation in what's really being said when Paul, what's translated here, says that we should be like-minded. It really means that we should be ones joined in soul. And so this isn't telling us that we always have to agree with each other or always think exactly the same on any given subject. But it is saying that we are to be connected in such a way that we have deep care for others on a spiritual level. So if you know as an individual that Jesus is up to something in your life, that your faith is making a difference, then we are invited to be part of a church community. And to be part of that means we are joined in soul with others. Now, if what we were really being asked to do here was to think exactly the same as other Christians, it would make sense to me then that Paul would follow this up then with a list of the things that we should all think alike about. Does that make sense? If Paul was really saying his point is we all have to think exactly the same, I think he would give us the list and say, well, here's the list of the things that we should think exactly the same about. But instead, we find a list of inner attitudes that flow out to others in our actions. So again, as opposed to being like-minded and thinking the same, what I think we're being called to here is again, this idea of being joined in souls with others. And from that, this next couple verses make a whole lot more sense. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And so if Jesus is working in your heart and you know that that makes a difference, then we're called to make this kind of a connection to others within community. In the way that Paul is saying this should work itself out is we should look to the well-being of others. Now, my hope is, as your pastor, that we all find connection with God through the ministries and the programs and in the many offerings that are available to us as being part of a church. And it's a really good thing to be at a church where the type of things that are offered help us to connect with Jesus, not just in a surface way, but in deep and meaningful ways. And so maybe for you, it's one of these things or a combination of them. Maybe it's through the music ministry or small groups or community meals or any of the other number of opportunities that we have as a church community to bond together and to grow in our faith. Those things are important. I'm not trying to discount programs and ministries and those sort of offerings. But that's not what Paul is telling us is the most important thing for us to find when it comes to Christian community. And in fact, again, he's not pointing us to anything on the outside, but rather he's pointing us to look at ourselves. This scripture makes it clear. Our invitation to go deep in Christian community isn't first built on a foundation of good groups or good Bible studies or the kind of worship that we like. Rather, the foundation for shared life as Christians is my heart in looking to be in service to others. Where does Paul get these crazy ideas? You know, this was a guy who was literally trying to kill Christians before Jesus caught him and started doing something in his life. And so where does he come up with this stuff? What do you mean that being part of Christian community isn't necessarily what it does for me, but it's the way that I might be in service to others? He did this really radical thing. He looked to Jesus for the example on this. And he does the very same thing to us. He invites us to adopt the mindset of Jesus. And so again, this we need to get away from the idea that this is thinking exactly like, although it wouldn't hurt us to think exactly like Jesus. But in telling us that we should adopt the mindset of Jesus, he points us to inner attitudes that would impact our outward actions. When we look at Jesus, I think we begin to understand, if we're honest, that relationships with those around him were not something that were always easy. And as much as it would be great to be a part of a church where relationships were always easy and they never took work, that in reality is not the way that it always works. We won't always agree. We won't always feel like somebody else has our best interests in mind. We won't find that our toes never get stepped on or our feelings hurt. Not that that should be our goal of Christian community, but that's the reality. Sometimes we get in the way of each other. Jesus invested his life deeply into others. He didn't first say, well, what is this group and this community of disciples going to do for me? No, he put himself out in his life before them. And what does that get him? After years of journeying with this group and investing in them and caring for them, he finds himself, as the cross comes nearer and nearer, in his moments of deepest need, those 12 that he's so invested in, now they had his back, right? They were right there. No, this community that he invested so much in, those that he was closest to, it was from that group that he was betrayed, that he was denied. I don't even know him. And the others deserted him. Jesus knows that relationships get messy, that they can be hard. But he also knows that it's worth the work to build relationships. Something happens deep within us when we love in the face of rejection, when we love in the face of someone else's insult, when we love those who we disagree with, when we love someone and that love is not returned. Something happens deep within us, but what is that something? Maybe you are saying, I don't care. I don't want to know what that something is. That doesn't sound like what I sign on for when I say I want to be part of a church. And again, I'm not saying that that is our goal in any way, but I think we know at times it is the reality. As we go deep in relationship, as we find ourselves vulnerable, it's possible for us to be hurt. But what is that something that happens in us as we love, even in those situations? That something is this: Jesus is formed more deeply in our hearts. We begin to understand not just what surface love looks like, but we begin to understand what it looks like and what it means and what it feels like to love in the way that Jesus loves. Jesus said it very clearly. He said, if you only love the people who love you back, well, then what credit is that? He said, even pagans do that. We could go further. Even the biggest jerks we know love the people back who love them in some instances. And so Jesus, in trying to help us understand what love is, in what real love looks like, invites us into something that is deeper than simply a surface love where we agree with everybody and they treat us nice, and that is a circle that goes on and on. We come to experience God's presence and learn more about the way that Jesus loves not just the world, but loves us when we love in the face of the hard things. Paul continues in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so what was Jesus' mindset? Again, it certainly wasn't, well, I'm going to come in those who are nicest to me, I'm going to show them my best. No, he showed his best. And it didn't necessarily win him any awards. It got him hung on the cross. And yet, Paul, who Rose pointed out for us, was writing from prison because of his faithfulness in following Jesus. So Paul isn't writing these empty words surrounded in this great Christian community where everybody loves each other. No, he knows the cost of what it is to follow Jesus. I'm going to assume that he's writing the Philippians because he understands that maybe they are struggling with this very thing, and they need the reminder of this invitation to love in a deeper way. And so, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Our call to be part of a Christian community is not one that is easy. It will take work. We will have to build those relationships. We will find ourselves, if we are doing it right, at times being vulnerable in helping others in their time of need, but we will also sometimes find ourselves in a place where we don't know if we have enough to share. We will sometimes find ourselves in a place where we don't know if we have enough forgiveness to extend. We'll sometimes find ourselves in places where we say, I don't know if my toes can take being stepped on anymore. Maybe it's time to not be in relationship with that Christian community. But as hard as it may be, we will find ourselves walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We will find ourselves in loving at times where it is inconvenient or it hurts or it takes work. We will find ourselves being formed more and more to not just be religious people who are Christians, but we will find ourselves being more and more little Christs who resemble his life and his love. Romans 12:2 calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How might we be transformed if we took on the mindset of Christ as it relates to our relationships at Bergen United Methodist? I came across in a commentary this week these words: love begins when someone else's needs are more important than my own. If you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, if that makes any difference at all in your heart, then you are bonded to other Christians. We don't get a choice in that. I've needed the reminder many times since those early days in my faith when the Spirit kind of pointed me to the idea that it was going to take work in order to have the deep kind of Christian relationship that my heart ached for. And I've been reminded of that time and time again, that good, strong relationship takes investment on my part. But I can offer numerous testimonies of the power of doing that work. I can offer testimony about the power of forgiveness and how, in the face of wanting to walk away from a relationship, instead leaning on God's grace and saying, God, help me to know what forgiveness looks like, and somehow, in some way, by that grace, finding the relationship even stronger on the other side of that forgiveness. To be like Jesus, that is our call as Christians. We'll talk about that more in a couple weeks in some more depth in specific ways, but to be like Jesus, it's not just to believe some things or to say I go to a certain place, but our call is to be like Jesus, the one who gave of himself, putting in more than we get, laying down even our own well-being at times for the growth of others. This is the mindset of Jesus. Will you follow Jesus in this way? Will we then follow Jesus together, even in those moments, in seasons, when it seems to require more of us than we get in return? To be like Jesus, that is our call. And indeed,